We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. On Pompeo, the confirmation process has become a little bit more complicated, and one of the biggest reasons is because of Senator Rand Paul. It's probably going to have to go to a whole vote on the Senate floor. There are some Democrats now, Jim, that are talking about the fact that they'll come in. Like, for instance, I mentioned the other day here, Heidi Huttkamp, she said she'll be in on it. She probably will vote for Pompeo. Also, finally, Joe Manchin, West Virginia senator, he came out. And, you know, it's interesting to see Joe say that because he's been talking like that. Like, oh, yeah, I'll support the president. Yeah, I'll do that. And, of course, he hasn't done any of it, you know. He talks a big story, but he doesn't seem to come through. And also, Senator Joe Donnelly of Indiana, they said they'll back Pompeo. They did when he was CIA director, so why not do it when he's Secretary of State, right?
True. I mean, what you're seeing now is, I think, the Pompeo effect. He goes to Korea. He lays the groundwork for a summit meeting with Kim Jong-un over there for President Trump. Trump has been, the economy's up. He's meeting with the French prime minister today. Lots of different things that he's done. They have an opportunity. They either get it on board or they go home in September.
All right. We're starting to get some of the fruits of, as you just stated, of some of the successes that Trump has been working on, the president has been working on thus far. But isn't this simply more or less a tit-for-tat game is what it is with Pompeo? I say that with a little bit of a caveat, Terry, because when I say that, you know, there are more people that have not been confirmed under this administration than has been. I don't know if it's historic at this point, but I think we're getting pretty close now with the time lapse and not being able to get just even basic ambassadors through and part of the people they need to work in the White House. And they're dragging their feet because they don't want to see the success metrics of this president. And so I think it's obviously very, very strategic. I think that's what I'm seeing.
If I was up there orchestrating things, that would be one of the big things I would let the American public know. It is the nominations that have not gone through. If the average American understood how the Democrat Party and some of the Republicans are really trying to pull the rug out from underneath Trump in just basic nominations. They would be appalled.
Basic things.
We're not even talking about Supreme Court.
Exactly.
I mean, we're just talking about filling some of the jobs inside the White House.
And you just said something key, Terry. You just said which is really, really a vital point here. It's not just the left, Terry. It's the right as well. You see, Trump, what's unusual about this administration is he has to battle the opposition party. Well, yeah, that's pretty normal. But he also has to battle his own party, Terry. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, some of the people, not all of them, but some of them, I mean, because let's face it, you got the deep state on both sides. The deep state's not just blue, you know.
No.
I mean, you've got players on both sides who don't want to see the agenda of Donald Trump. So anyway, just going back to nominations, getting nominations through, it's a, what do you call it? It's almost like a stalemate. It's frozen. It's not working. But I believe if the average American actually understood how bad it is, they would come to Trump's defense.
Come to think of it, Terry, you would be a very interesting chief of staff for Trump. You know that? Yeah. When you just made, don't you think, Jim? She'd be a great chief of staff up there, huh?
Yeah. The first thing I would do is get rid of McConnell.
Well, the Senate president. That's another story.
But
yeah.
Well, I'd be happy if I could just follow Sarah Huckabee around every day.
Oh, man, she's something else, isn't she? And speaking of her now, so she comes out, and, you know, she is one of the most effective press secretaries that I can recall in a long time. So, the other one I liked back then with the Bush administration was Perino. Dana Perino did a very good job. Yes. And we've had a few good ones over the years, but some of them are real dunces as well. So mm-hmm. She comes out and she makes a statement again, and she said they're playing games with various things here. I want to read you a few tweets here real quickly, because there's some interesting thoughts here with some of the tweets that people have commented about. And by the way, Sarah Sanders is trending all afternoon, basically because of the comment she put out there about, you know, the fact that, listen, they either love this country more than they hate Trump, or what are we going to do here? So how is that playing out? Well, one tweet says, from USA News, says, no fear, Sarah Sanders taking the bullwhip to Dems for being the worthless slime that they are. I thought you'd like that one. They are playing games with national security by opposing Mike Pompeo. # lock up the Dems. Now, that's pretty extreme, Jim, that tweet. But let me read you a couple more here. Richard says, Dems have to decide if they love the U.S. more than they hate Trump. This tweet repeats what Sarah said. She has it backward. Those who hate Trump do so precisely because they love America and hate what he is doing to it. So here's one that opposes that. I want to give you both sides of this thing. John says, why on God's earth does the mainstream media cover these faux press conferences? They're nothing but state propaganda, and not even very good propaganda at that. Sarah Sanders merely provides fodder for SNL. And of course, it is a lot of fodder for SNL. Another one says, but here's the one that's interesting to me. I want to read to you both, and I'd like you to opine on this. Democrats have to decide whether the left of this country hates this president. Okay, this is the same Republican Party, this tweet says, that obstructed Obama in 2009 and wanted Obama to be a one-term president. This is unbelievable. Now, that was that tweet. Now, what do you say to that, Terry? And I want you to opine first on that, Terry, because, you know, if you remember when Obama was in office, the same game was played, Terry. I mean, I don't know to the stature of all of these confirmations, and I mean, I get that. But the same game was played. They didn't want him to be more than a one-term president. They didn't even want him to be successful. I remember the outcry back then. But they played it against the Democratic Party, so why isn't it good for them to do it to the Republicans now?
Well, therein lies the problem, is because, you know, where is their allegiance? Is their allegiance to the Constitution? No. Is their allegiance really to the country? No. Is the allegiance more to power? Yes. And it goes on both sides. However, both of these political parties have a platform. And what we now know, and I wish I had the statistics in front of me, but a study was done, and I believe that it's 83% of our elected officials will vote for laws and, you know, bills to turn into laws that that advance the agenda of the political party platform. So that's a really, really good statistic you can run on. It's in the neighborhood of like 83%. So you know that if you vote in a Democrat, they're going to be advancing the Democrat Party platform, vice versa for a Republican platform. So now I don't know if we want to talk about now or talk about later, but we can get into the nitty gritty of,
yeah, we will.
Well, what are those platforms? Yeah,
we will, so, because it's very, very ideological driven. That's what this is, and that's what it all
power.
Is.
It's power. I mean, look
it's
at power. What power, place, position. You know, so what is it about politics? It gives people power.
No, that's it. I mean, you're exactly right, Terry. I mean, I rail against it every day of my life. Not only is it the power they seek, but there's a reason why they all get into Washington, you know, pretty average and poor, or just maybe, you know, I mean, they're not totally wealthy. But when they leave Congress, it's amazing how they're ultimately so wealthy, Terry. Truly, truly amazing. And it's not by their salary. So figure that out, people, huh? I mean, what do you think? I mean, you think they're all up there because they want to get a few more gray hairs? Hairs in their head? I don't think so. I think there's a reason they're doing this, Jim, you know? Anyways, also a lot of other stories here in the news we'll cover today on Nozzle Friends. Also, this very interesting interview, which I'm sure many of you seen out there with a representative Devin Nunes, he came out, and very interesting. The House Intelligence Committee had some very fascinating things to say about intelligence. Of course, the word intelligence is always a word that gets my attention, because when they're talking about intelligence or intelligence committees, I always do a double take, Jim, because I know there is no real intelligence in Washington. I mean, I would say, well, are they talking about, you know, what? So, I mean, it's hard to really get any credible intelligence there sometimes. You mentioned also, Jim, the state dinner, and that is right, the first state dinner of this administration, which is always a beautiful thing. Jim, did you get your invitation in, by the way, to the state dinner yet?
No, I've been looking for it all week.
I figured I figured you had to get an invitation for this thing.
We've been over to Mar-a-Lago, though.
No doubt. I know you're connected, bro. I get it. I get it, man. So, all right. Well, when you get your invitation, I'll help you carry your bags in there or something. Just let me know, man. We'll figure it out, buddy. So, this is with the French President Macron and his wife Brigitte. They are here, and it's kind of interesting that it's the first state dinner is going to be with the French. But President Trump has created quite a very interesting relationship, as he's done with quite a few of these leaders, actually. I mean, he's done it with Shinzo Abe in Japan. He's done it with, he may be doing it with Kim Jong-un very shortly, but he's done it with Xi Jinping in China. You know, and that's where you're going to get a lot more progress, when you have that person-to-person relationship, because it always comes back to relationship, people. That you got to remember that. That's why Reagan was so successful with a lot of his foreign relations. It was the relationships they created. The state dinners, the fancy boo-boos that they do, you know. Anyways, a lot of other stories here today as well, friends. This Waffle House shooter is caught in custody. There's another van, hidden pedestrians. This has become all too commonplace, where they're using vans and automobiles now to plow people down on the sidewalks. I'll tell you, it's very soon it's going to be just about, not illegal, but it's going to be very risky just to take a walk outside on a busy thoroughfare somewhere on a road. I mean, you're going to have to be looking over your shoulders. There's something about this. It's all over now. It's like everything else in this world, really. Once it's in the mainstream consciousness, it happens all too frequently, because it really is just a bunch of followers doing the same stuff. Anyways, at the top of nozzle here, let's do some formal introductions here. We have Terry Beatley and Jim McKay here. And Terry, this is the first time you've been on Nozzle. I know you've been on the network. People, I'm sure, have heard your show and heard other things. But please take 15 seconds and tell folks a little bit about yourself, please.
Oh, only 15. All right. I'm wife. I'm mother of two girls, and I'm president of Jose Initiative, which is a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to teaching truth to a world broken by abortion, because I made a promise to the founder of the abortion industry I would teach the truth across America. And I'm a patriot. I love my country. And I'm all about spreading truth. And I call it loving others with truth.
You are all of that. And of course, your book and your show is of the same name. We'll talk about that a little bit later. What If We've Been Wrong, which is the book and the show. Two important things, and you didn't even mention them in your thing. And you didn't mention your Nobel Prize either, Terry.
I know why. I like other people to promote my book.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we get all that in. All right. So Jim McKay, please.
Okay.
Take 3 seconds, please, Jim. Okay, you're up, Jim. Time's up. Go ahead.
I'm an escapee from Silicon Valley.
Oh,
spent
30 escapee.
Years there in high technology with some of the great firms that are there. Took the money and ran all the way to Southern Florida. Now live just a couple miles from the beach. Have a beautiful family. Three little girls, by the way, which are one more than you have, Terry, so we're doing okay. Mm-hmm. And now I do production work for the network, for the Viewpoint, the Sunday show, and occasionally a guest commentator on some of the other activities.
You know, I was just thinking, Jim, one time we should do a conversation we should have in another show somewhere on the network with you, I, and Terry talking about what it feels like to raise girls. By golly, that will be a whole nother conversation, I believe. More Nozzle in just a moment, friends. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. And I was wondering who would be the first steak dinner, which country it would be. Any surprise, do you think, that it is with the French President Macron? Do you think, Terry, or was this any surprise, or was this right in the wheelhouse of what you expected?
My wheelhouse of what I expected was, I haven't really been thinking about it, Malcolm, to be quite honest with you, but I think France is a great country to choose. It's not surprising. I think they can be solid. They obviously have been solid allies. I think the relationship can grow. And my main concern about Europe is it's being swallowed up by socialism. And I cannot think of a better person than Donald Trump to speak free market enterprise, to help hold Europe accountable and to return to its full, free enterprise state of being that it once was.
Yeah. Jim, on to Terry's point just now, let's talk mm-hmm. about that quite just a second here, because she was right in her assessment with Trump and Macron. But here's the thing, the socialist comment she made about Europe, which obviously we covered quite a bit, Jim, on the platform. But here's the thing. What's very interesting about this relationship with Trump and Macron is that he's of the left, he's of the right, and yet they have this very unique friendship. That is a bit of a surprise here. I almost think we have like a better relationship right now with France than we've had in some years, I think, Jim. Don't you agree?
I do. I think that he's a young man, by the way. He's not, 60s or 70s like you. But he has a spirit about him that is, exactly. I don't think you can call him left or right. He is a dynamic individual. He's a leader. That's how he got elected. So he has a lot of things in common with
he's
Trump.
A business guy, too.
Personality. Yeah. So, and also be the first country invited. France, by the way, is the first country that supported the United States, even during the Revolutionary War.
Right.
So very, very traditional place for France.
I know you say that, Jim, but we always, we always make this big deal, which is kind of a slap on the face for a lot of other countries. We say, well, but our biggest, best, most interesting relationship is with the UK. We always make that statement. And sometimes that's kind of a hit to countries like you're just saying. And we sometimes make that about Israel too. But then of course, sometimes it's qualified with Israel to say, oh, in the Middle East, we mean, well, no kidding. Yeah. You're in a region of monsters. It's not real hard to pick out Israel there, Jim, with all the monsters in the Middle East, right? That's an easy one there. But it is kind of funny how with French, and I'm saying the UK, how that comparison sometimes is there. In this case, it's with French. We have had a bit of a strange relationship this time around with England, though. If you think of Theresa May, the Prime Minister, and other and the London Mayor and other dignitaries out there, they haven't really been on the Trump train. They've sort of been, you know what I'm saying? They've been a little removed, huh? Maybe that's a factor, I think.
I don't know how much of a factor that is. I think he wanted to extend a hand to the French because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things going on over there in France right now, with Middle Eastern invasion, mm-hmm. so to speak, of Europe. And I think he wants to build the relationship and help them. And France is an important country. It's one of the largest countries in Europe. And he's not having a lot of success with Merkel.
No, they don't have the relationship. Yeah, and by the way, she'll be here at the end of the week, Jim, Terry. Yeah. She'll be here at the end of this week. Merkel will be.
Is she getting leftovers?
She's definitely getting. She's not getting a state dinner, love. I'll give you that much. She may get the leftovers, Terry. Chicken and waffles.
I'm wondering when the European countries will catch on that if you don't have babies, mm-hmm. if there's no marriage, and there's no institution of marriage and mm-hmm. family, the family unit, which produces babies, children, they will never be able to support their socialist policies because that counts on people producing goods and services which get taxed so that the tax money's there. So That's the part that puzzles me.
Well, what you say there is not a casual statement either, even though when some of you hear Terry say that, that's not a casual statement, what she's saying right there. What she's saying right there is the mechanism and survival, people, of many of these countries. And you know what's even crazier than that? And they don't even know it right now. Or maybe if they know it, they're not admitting it, or they're in denial or something. But I got to tell you,
some countries, I want to say it's Denmark, but they've actually made videos promoting married couples have babies.
Yeah.
I've seen them. They're sort of funny. They're kind of comical, but they're encouraging people to have children. But they're, I don't know how many dozens of many years too late. Because, I mean, when you think about the Middle Eastern invasion, they're having 8 to 10 children
per
family.
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And so the population is out of whack in a lot of these countries. Some of them are already losing the fight right now. Now, you come back 20, 30 years from now, or 40 years from now, and they're really going to be losing the fight. So there's a big point to that, Jim. What she's saying is very, very interesting. And there's not enough of attention put on that point, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's very true, both in Europe and if you look at Japan, also a decrease in native population. But Europe is getting to the point of a crisis. Another 10 years of Middle Eastern invasion in Europe, and there will not be a Catholic church. There won't be any Christian churches in Europe. They'll tear them down.
Well, they're pulling them down now, Jim. A lot of them are going away, and some of them they're making into bingo halls, for if you can believe that. I mean, they're doing stupid things with them. But they're pulling the churches down,
No.
So my hat's off to Trump for inviting France, like you said.
And another point to that, before we leave that story, I want to tell folks, and get a load of this, people, now. Now, normally, when you have a state dinner like this, a bit of information and trivia for you. Yeah, it's a big deal. There's no question. I mean, how big of a deal? It's a big deal. You'll have the military band there. They'll have a 21-gun salute. There's a lot of pomp and pageantry, if you will. It's a ceremony. Very much a ceremony. First one, again, for the Trump administration. Which you kind of see them bringing some of those glory days back. They're kind of some of those people. It's like, there's a bit of that. How do you say? Well, I think of Camelot when you think of that. We used to say that with the Kennedys, Camelot, the big, and the Reagans, the big state dinner and the gowns and the dancing and the models. Well, what's interesting about this is Melania has normally, the first lady always has an outside event planner and a team of people and a whole parade of people. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There's none of that right now. She's doing it herself.
Yeah.
I think it's
what do you think
awesome.
Of that?
I think it's fantastic. So many people underestimate that lady. And I think she's done an excellent job so far.
Does she speak 5 languages? Is that right?
Yes.
5.
Yeah.
And then she has a degree in it's multiple degrees, one of them being architecture, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, she's incredibly brilliant, and they've underestimated her, just like they're underestimating Donald Trump.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's no doubt. But I think this is very interesting. I look forward to seeing this, how this all works with the state dinner. And hopefully, you can only hope that it goes off as well as you want it to, as it's a representation of our country and all the factors in there. Listen, I want to talk to you about this and I know, Jim, you'll have some very interesting points to this story. But so we're talking about Devin Nunes here, the House Intelligence Committee chairman. And of course, him and Schiff, they are definitely like the frickin' frack show, I mean, him and Adam Schiff. I mean, he's on the other side of this thing. And every time Devin Nunes says something, revealing, Schiff comes out and he's like Popeye, in the cartoon series there, I mean, he always talks with crap in his mouth. You can never understand what he's saying, Schiff, because it never makes any intelligence. I think he's got all that tobacco or whatever, spinach, whatever the hell they chew there in Popeye world, but in any event, so I don't know where I'm going with that. But the point is. So Devin Nunes, he does this major interview here, which it's hard to get these cats on for any length of time anymore because they know they're going to be caught in a lot of these, he said kind of conversations because there's so much information, so much news happening, every day here. But he says that there was no official intel, no intelligence that started the FBI probe into this Trump campaign, Russia. There was nothing there. And they're like flipping out about this because it's unbelievable. So this intelligence happened in a vacuum. It happened with somebody having the great idea. Let's see if we can't screw the President Trump up for a while and throw these curveballs at him and see if we can't lock his administration into, you know, sort of like the Houdini into that, case there that you try to get out of. And that's what Trump's been doing. He's been trying to get out of this this whole collusion Russian thing here. What do you think of, did you see the Nunes interview?
Yes. Yeah, I think that Nunes is right on target with everything. And the opposition side, from led by Schiff, who just makes this stuff up as he goes along.
This guy,
I just don't know where he's coming from.
He's Popeye, I'm telling you. He talks with crap in his mouth. I'm not kidding you.
And every time they come out and say, well, Trump not as the target of the investigation.
Right.
And this investigation's going who knows where. You know, it's going to be next thing they'll be looking for little green men that came in from Mars.
He's not the target of the investigation. Okay, we got that. There's no collusion with Russia. We got this. Okay, but we're going to keep doing it anyways. Okay, cool. Right. And it's to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayer money, but it's okay. We just like it for the sport of it. How's that? Is that okay, Jim? That reason enough for you?
Yeah. I think it's a way of the Senate doing any real work. I mean, there's hundreds of bills that are sitting on McConnell's desk that aren't getting any attention or anything. The fact that they come out and say in January, well, it's an election year. We're not going to be able to deal with any serious legislation. And you have 30 or 40 people tied up in these never-ending investigations, but never yield anything. I mean, they all come out with, you know, he said, she said at the end of it. And why? I mean, what's the purpose of all this?
Well, it's to put him in the Houdini box there. That's all it is, and see if he can get out of it. Jim, I just told you that. Wake up, man. I'm telling you what the story is here, you know? Right?
But, hey, have you guys heard about the Joint Task Force MAGA, as in Make America Great Again, Joint Task Force MAGA? It's retired FBI, CIA agents, as well as currently employed people who are, I guess you'd say, leaking information, giving substantial information about what's going on. So they're basically, it's the white state trying to defeat the deep state. They're in D.C. right now. Tonight, I'm interviewing one of the ladies who's deeply involved in that,
Tommy Collins with America Restored.
Yeah, literally. And they have a list of 27 charges against Mueller. Is that his name? Mueller.
Mueller.
Okay.
Robert Mueller.
27
Mueller,
charges
Mueller,
against
potato, potato.
Yeah. 27 charges against him and his department and maybe a couple other agencies as well.
Yeah, just looking at it right now, Joint Task Force. There we are. Make America Great Again. That's it right there. What a good looking website, too.
Well, they're working the inside scoop. So they've got the goods on Mueller, Mueller, the big cover up, what's really going on. Obviously, they're trying to chase Donald Trump out of town, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's a joint task force, Jim, is what this is.
Yeah, you know, this entire resist and anti-GOP president thing all started in 2000 when Bush got elected. I mean, they started right then and there, the media and the Democrats coalescing into an anti-Bush. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went on for, 10 years that Gore should have been president. I mean, they still talk about Bush was an illegitimate president. He didn't win. The Supreme Court gave him the election. Well, after, 10 recounts in Florida that they said he actually did win, they went to the Supreme Court and said, enough of this nonsense. Let's get on with the business of the country. And they declared the recounts to end at that point. But ever since then, anything that the GOP has tried to do, it's just been a absolute 100% coalesced Democratic opposition. And I think you have today, worse than that, you have the Democrats, plus there's the status quo Republicans. The Republicans that are happy in office, they're collecting their checks, they have their lobbyists that pay them off, and everybody else don't want to lose their jobs. And as you've said many times, Trump is a disruptor. He's coming in and he's making change. And you have all these people fighting him about it. Yeah. And there is so much dirt locked up in archives on people in Washington.
That's right.
That organization that organization that's called the Office of Congressional Compliance paid off 285 people with $17 million for different levels of harassment. And that
Oh, wait a minute. You had the wrong title. That's called the Sexual Predator Reelection Fund.
Yes.
Really?
Sexual Predator Reelection Fund. And actually, if you study that year over year over year, and I wish we were talking about that, I would have had it up. I did post it. But let's say on average, they paid out like $2 to $3 million a year. But then there were a couple years where the payouts were massive. I'd like to get to the bottom of that. What's
now, is that,
that
are we talking about?
About
the hush fund? Is that the same as the hush
yeah,
fund
the
that
hush
we referred
fund.
To?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
There was 1 year they made four payouts that averaged $400,000 a payout.
Right.
And you know they weren't paying off janitors for that.
Right. Well, the fact, Jim, that Americans don't even realize that our taxpayer money and all these budgets are being used to propagate this, whatever, these sexual addicts or this pornography addicts or whatever they're doing up there in Washington, you know they got to be doing something, is a sin. I mean, that's a sin, the fact that that's even happening. Well, now they got, but Jim, didn't we report just a couple of weeks ago that they're pushing legislation now to kill that whole fund, right? That's going to be done.
Well, what they want to do is they want to make the people that are committing the acts pay for it. So what they will probably do is they will work out something that you'd have a low-cost insurance policy that'll pay off for your sexual acts.
I mean, and then we want to know, and then you want to talk about moments ago about the Senate, and you say, well, McConnell. But, you know, the Senate is a graveyard. It's a total graveyard for political progress. That's all it is. It's a place where bills go to die. I mean, that's all they do is die there, huh?
I think if you got that list of the 285 people that were paid off,
expose it.
It's going to be on both sides.
You know,
the
McConnell's office. Probably on there. You know that he looks like a pervert.
I think that he is, and another a lot of very high ranking.
High end. You know, I know, Terry. I know that doesn't sound nice, but you know what? I'm over it, love.
I joined three of the women who were sexually abused by Bill Clinton, and two other media women at a press conference at the National Press Club.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And
that.
This is exactly what we were exposing, and that's when I called it the Sexual Predator Reelection Fund. And you know, then fingers can be pointed both ways. You know, you say a bunch of old men up there in D.C. Well, no, there are at least two women, one Democrat, one Republican.
Better
I just know
it.
The Republicans. Yeah, Barbara Comstock, she's up for reelection. I hope she gets the tar beat out of her by Shaq Hill. Because check this out. Whether she knew specifically the names of these people who were sexual predators who got our tax money to pay off, you know, their victims. Oh, she didn't do a darn thing about it until all this hit the media. And then she acts like, oh, well, she's all for whatever all these changes are. That's called bull crap. If she was all for this, she would have. If I had been in her position, serving as a congresswoman, and they put me on that House, whatever that committee's called, we would have been cleaning house from the get-go. I would have been saying, what are you doing using taxpayer money to pay off sexual predators?
But I think it's important. It shows how upside down the country has become. University of California has established now safe rooms for whites on their campuses.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
All right. Now, the catch to it is, it's not like a safe room for other minorities where they go and they are protected by hate speech or anything that might be abusive or harassment. All the white room for whites is they go there so they can be lectured on how to treat minorities and how to interact and how abusive they have been. So it's like taking them not into in the moniker safe room is such a distortion of it, because it's like being taken to the principal's.
So they have
office.
Safe rooms in the universities, you're saying, for
in the university whites.
Everything is becoming about white and black now. It's getting really stupid out there, man. You know,
It perpetuates the racial divide by doing these
well,
things.
That's all of it's doing. I mean, we see this everywhere. And, you know, even law enforcement now has become, you know, I mean, unjustifiably accused as black and white. And it's not. You know, police happen to be blue. I mean, police aren't black or white. I mean, they're blue. I mean, there we got all kinds of, I mean, everybody's police, you know? I mean, it's like, it's not one particular ethnic group or, you know what I'm saying? And yet, it's become like them against us with the law enforcement anytime there's a problem and you got the Black Lives Matter thing and then it becomes really, really messy. But it really is. It's we've taken a few steps back. And a lot of this, it was just after the previous administration who kicked cops constantly. We're going to be covering this topic more and more on our program here because we have such incredible law enforcement heroes on the platform. I want to talk to you both while we're on the political stuff. Before we get over to, I want to get back in a moment to this van accident, and I want to talk to you both about that and this other character with the gun with the Waffle House thing. Before we go there, which are big news items, clearly, I want to talk to you about this next thing while we're on politics still here about, of course, everything's politics, but that's beside the point. Right. This very interesting, you know, we talk all the time, guys, about politically correct. Everything's politically correct. And, you know, it's you can't say what you can't say. Or and if you do say it, of course, I don't really fit into the politically correct category, if you will. And that doesn't mean we can't be ladies and gentlemen, but it does mean we're going to say what's on our mind. Well, Shania Twain comes out and she has to clarify. She puts a tweet out there and to say that she would have voted for Trump had she been here. She's a Canadian, but she would have voted for him because even though he was, you know, somewhat offensive, he seemed very honest. This is what she said now in the tweet. And this
But today she apologized.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a story. So she comes out and apologizes.
What's that about? I haven't even had a chance to.
Well, because it's politically correct again is what I'm saying. It wasn't politically correct or expedient for her to be honest, Terry, is what happened here. You see, yeah? So now she brought it back, which I think is really sad. Now she's created a storm for herself. She's been all over Twitter in the past 48 hours having to apologize to all of her fans. Of course, she's a bit of a weirdo anyways. I mean, quite frankly, if you like her out there, sorry, but I never really cared for her. You know why? She was one of those entertainers. And tell me if I'm wrong here, Jim, when you watch, I mean, not that I follow country. I'm not a country guy, singer. I mean, I like all music, but I'm just not big into a lot of that honky-tonk stuff, you know? And I remember when she was on there, she was always sort of thought she was one up. I don't know, when she first came out as a star, it was like she was one up in everybody, all the other successful, you know, singers and stuff, you know? It always seemed to me like she thought her you-know-what didn't stink, you know? There was something about that. Am I imagining that, or did you think that way as well, Jim? Or did you even give a rat's ass?
She wasn't an overnight sensation, but she became the most sold the most albums and
did
the most financially successful of all individual
really?
Women singers. Yes,
she didn't from me. I don't know who was buying her stuff. Did you ever buy a Shania Twain item, Mr. Jim?
I did, and my children danced to her music. And while I love Shania Twain, to me, she was the real deal. And I loved her backstory of working hard. And
I'm so glad.
So that's why I was shocked to read
today. Yeah, you were shocked. Yeah, I always seen through her, Terry. I never liked her baloney. I always seen her as a bit of a phony. I did not see her. It's funny, the direct opposite of what you just said. I always seen her as an entertainer of being expedient to say, so this doesn't, my point of this is, this doesn't surprise me at all what she did here. That's all I'm saying. Now, it may surprise you too, because maybe you're Shania fans. I'm not. And so it doesn't surprise me because anytime I've seen her in the limelight, it seems to me that she just covers her own backside. I don't know why I say all this, but I say it. What?
She was very successful for a number of years. Then she went through a terrible separation and then divorce and relationship with her husband and her manager and stuff like that really messed up her head tremendously.
Well, obviously,
but
it's
no,
messed
she
up
lost
right
her
now.
Well, she lost her voice. She was bitten by it. She had to have a surgery on her larynx. A lot of that was due to, I think, Lyme disease. She was bitten by a tick.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And, so she grew up sexually abused by her stepfather. Lots of infighting.
I didn't know that either. I shouldn't be judging people. So forgive me, people. Here I am judging somebody. I don't even know her. So shame on me. I hear you. I know. I just reading her apology. Listen to this here. I would like to apologize to anybody who gives a rat's ass, right? No. I would like to apologize to anybody I have offended in a recent interview with The Guardian relating to the American president. So she tweets this out. The question caught me off guard. In other words, and this is the problem, Terry, I have with this. The question caught me off guard. What that means is she wasn't going to be truthful, Terry. That's what that means. That's code for I'm going to not be truthful to you. Well, that's not good. That's not good character, Terry. That's not good character. You say something, you put it out there, stick with your words, or shut the hell up and don't say nothing. You understand?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm grossly disappointed Shania Twain
would retract.
Good.
I'm glad you're disappointed then, because I would have been upset, Jim, if Terry said she still thought the world, because this is rubbish here, what she did. She said, I am passionately against discrimination of any kind. Well, all right. So what's that got to do with this, Shania?
Exactly.
And hope it's clear from the choices I've made. We're not talking about you, Shania, and the people I stand with. Who cares? And that I do not hold any common moral beliefs with the current president. Oh, I don't like this, Shania. No. Forget it. If you bought her CDs, return them and break them, people. More nozzle in just a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Seems like just another day when this kind of stuff happens, sadly. But what was unusual about this thing is all these guns were pulled off of this criminal. And it seems now he got them back from his father. And the latest report I see just a bit ago here, as we've gone with this, is that his father may very well be up on charges. His dad, who gave him the guns back. See, they were wondering how he got these guns, because he lost all his rights to having guns. The guy is a bit of a whack job. Well, obviously, if you show up at a Waffle House and you're naked, and you're naked at a Waffle House, and you kill four people, you're a whack job. And quite frankly, probably if you show up at Waffle House even dressed and you're a civilized citizen, you're probably a whack job. I mean, because does anybody eat at the Waffle House anymore? Come on, does anybody eat there, Jim? When's the last time you ate at a Waffle House? Have you been there?
Last Wednesday, I think.
Oh, you are a whack job. You get out of here. You don't eat at the Waffle House. No way. Do you eat at the Waffle House, Terry?
I do not eat at the Waffle House.
No, because it's garbage. Why would you? Jim, you don't eat at the Waffle House. You're pulling our socks, aren't you?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
You gotta be, because you're a foodie. You're what they call a foodie, bud. You love great food, right?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Yeah, foodies don't eat at Waffle House. Sorry. Yeah. I was with friends one time in another state, and I can't say their name, and I'm not even going to say the state, because I love the people, I value these people, the husband and wife. And I was out one day with them, and they wanted to stop at a Waffle House, and oh, I was so embarrassed, guys. I was so dead, man. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, he's much older than I, and really sweet people, and so now I'm like, I can't believe we're stopping at a Waffle House. Oh my God, I just can't believe this. And I literally, this was like about 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that, you know? And we actually pulled in, and I was eating at a Waffle House, and I got a salad. I got a salad at a Waffle House. That's good. You're probably up on charges if you order a salad at a Waffle House, right?
They look at you like you're crazy.
I mean, you can order a salad there. You know that, I think. I mean, I've only been there the one time, but right? The only other time you go there is if you've had too much to drink and you're out of your mind.
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, see? Well, there you go. All right, so no Waffle House race. So anyway, so this guy shows up at the Waffle House. Now that we're killing this story, it's all right. So he shows up at the Waffle House naked.
Naked, yes. Yeah.
And he literally kills people. He four people were killed from this. It was against the law for him to have them. And do you know what? Criminals don't follow these laws. And do you know what? It didn't save these people. And do you know what? It's never going to save people. Because all the laws in the lawdom, in the kingdom of laws, don't stop people from doing bad stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about, Terry Beatley?
Absolutely. Yep.
So how would it have changed this story? The outcome didn't matter, Terry. Whether you had 25 more laws on the books, how would it have changed this story?
It wouldn't have changed the story, because guns don't kill people. People kill people.
So why bother then? Why don't these people just figure it out? Are they that dumb from the other side of the political aisle? They can't figure it out?
No, they're not dumb. They believe in political power, and this is a Marxist worldview of more power. And one of the principal things is make sure that people cannot defend themselves. I, as a gun carrying, whatever you call it, a concealed weapon carrying woman, believe absolutely in gun rights and self-protection. And just think, if somebody in there had a concealed weapon, they would have had the opportunity to take this guy out. And maybe he would have killed one person, but not four.
Well, actually, there was a hero, a young guy, really super. I've seen the guy speak and about that was the hero who stopped him. Did you see that guy that had the interview on this? Very, very nice. Yeah, there was a hero here. There was a hero
okay.
here. Yeah. Did you hear about this, Jim?
No, I haven't seen it. I think, again, if you have a hero out there, it doesn't make the news.
Well, and you know what's even worse about it? The guy who did it, the hero I'm speaking about, is a black guy.
Oh.
Awesome.
It is awesome. And that really bugs me, because if it was the flip side of it, they would have been all over this, making this about race, Terry. But the fact that the black guy did something great, I'm not hearing that. But of course, if the black guy was the guy who went in and shot everybody up, it would have been a racist thing. I don't know. I said something about this race thing that is so off kilter. You know, I got a comment. I like the way Terry said back there, Jim, a minute ago here. She's so far more diplomatic than I am, Jim, when she says, well, no, Malcolm, this is a Marxist view and a worldview, and they're not dumb. They're not dumb. Okay, so I get it. I think they're still dumb. Okay, they're dumb Marxists. I'll meet you halfway in the middle, Terry Beatley.
You know, when these shootings come down, whether it's four people or 50 people, I always say to them, go look at South Side of Chicago, folks. They have the strictest gun laws in the country, and you're having 30 and 40 shootings a week, and you're having 8 and 10 and 20 people a week murdered, and nothing happens. It's a small community. You would think that they would go in either with the National Guard, the state police, the local police, whatever it takes to take it. And if it is guns, and it's guns in the hands of people that don't shouldn't have them, aren't licensed to have them, go in and take them away. The problem is they'll go out and find more illegal guns.
They're just not getting the point here. And, you know, we can be as dramatic as we want. I can use all kinds of symbolic moments and conversation with you. But, I mean, the point is that it's never the gun specifically, but yet they want to make it about the gun, and the laws are never going to change anything. And I want to talk to you next about this van up in Toronto, guys.
Can I add one more thing, Malcolm? One more thing. At the big gun rally protest march in D.C., this is nothing more than a Democrat Party playbook. And they were there registering people to vote. Mm-hmm. They weren't there. I mean, it was dozens of them running around, signing up people to vote. And, of course, this is all Democrat Party push, this more and more gun control. So you can imagine what they were ultimately trying to. To me, it's the perfect. I mean, they didn't even have to go around knocking doors to register people. It was like whatever, 500,000 came right there.
Yeah.
So they had people planted in the city street registering people to vote.
You know, you always bring it up to 30,000 feet and you look at the world view in a very interesting way. It's one of the things I so appreciate and love about you. Is that you do that in about every conversation. Your mind just works that way, and it's so cool the way it works, Terry. The way you'll bring it up and solve the problem or talk about it in the way that, well, this is why. I want to talk more about, I'll tell you where I'm going with that in a moment, but I want to get to this white van in a moment.
Well, it's not near as fun as your way.
Well, but we probably make a good team then, love, because you're very good with that, with what you say. Yeah. Listen, my way basically is this, Terry. Listen, I'm serious on the weekends, as Jim knows, when we do Viewpoint. But you know what, Terry? At this point with the news itself, I got to tell you, it's either we sit and cry or we laugh about some of it, Terry, because there's so much to cry about, it isn't funny, okay? And that's my view here, all right?
Yeah.
So Nozzle is about, you know what? I mean, it's almost like it's so sick and over the top, this stuff, that, right, McKay, we talk about it every day. What are we going to do, laugh or cry? We choose to laugh. So when we turn Nozzle on the stream, we're going to give you our version of the news, right, Jim? And you like it, you like it.
Yes.
You don't, too bad, so sad, right? But at least it's going to be some truth to your news and not all this fake news crap you're all having to digest every day. That's why people are turning in their cable subscriptions. They're killing the television. I am looking forward to the day. I hate television. I don't like any of that. I'm just over it. I think most of you people listening are over it. And a lot of you have already gotten rid of the TV because you know it's garbage. It's just garbage. Mm-hmm. And it's all this, and if it's not the, and I'm not talking about just the news, it's all the crime crap as well. The murder, the mayhem, the rape, these Law and Order shows, all this stuff, they're killing each other. I mean, there's no entertainment anymore. The Hollywood doesn't produce any real entertainment, quite frankly. And not to be a real party, you know, tell you people I'm like the original party animal, you know, like I don't do drugs or anything else, you know, okay, got it, and I don't watch any of that stuff. What do I prefer? I prefer a good Christian film, quite frankly, and that's really what I enjoy. If I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, I prefer something uplifting, something that shows a little bit of the human spirit. Quite frankly, the rare chance I get to watch a movie, that's what I watch, believe it or not.
About that movie that's out, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, talk about news. That's newsworthy right there. I can only imagine. All of America ought to go see. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I hear great things. I haven't seen it yet, and I need to. But I don't get to the movies much anymore. Again, you know, but anyways, that's just how it is. Listen, the Toronto van. This is a pretty serious story, friends. In Toronto, there are 5 dead up to this point already. And there are, I mean, 5 dead. This is a...
And number injured.
About a dozen or so, as we know. I mean, but at least 5 dead now with this van terror. And what's happened is the van came up on the sidewalk in Toronto, again, busy thoroughfare, and they started hitting everything in sight. And then the van took off, and they couldn't get the van. And now they finally got the guy. They did apprehend the guy who did this. And obviously, this is going to, you know the playbook this is going to fit into, Jim.
Banned vans.
Well, it'll be banned vans, but this is terrorism. This is the ISIS,
of course,
people. Yeah,
yeah,
this is the playbook. It's plays it. This is what they do now, Terry, around the world. Is they get and by the way, it was a rental truck. They go rent these renter trucks. You know, these like you know what I'm talking about. You go like a U-Haul, a Ryder. I think this one was a Ryder or something like that. But they go and get those and they rent them, and then they use those to plow people down. You know, and they're doing this everywhere, about every country in the world.
Well, it's such an easy method of doing it in terms of causing mass damage.
That's what it is.
Fortunately, the area wasn't crowded with a lot of pedestrians at the time, or it would have been much more tragic.
The problem is we're in a new world order, people, where it's this. You got to watch all of it. You got to watch your back always. People are going to be very tricky about walking on public roads now in these thoroughfares. There's too much of this happening. But the point is that, listen, whatever you're going to use, whether it's illegal guns, whether it's a truck and a van or a bomb or something else, there are just people with devious minds, and that's all they want to do is kill people. And they'll find whatever means they can do to it. What I'd like to see in this country, quite frankly, I'd like to see us start to work together to solve those problems and not be at each other's throat. That would be a real thrill, I'll tell you. Now we'd really accomplish something if we could work together as a group here. Listen, as we down to the last few minutes here as well, and I want to talk to you here. I want to mention today to folks, let you know that it's hashtag World Book Day. World Book Day. And I started to look up some of the interesting books. And, of course, I always love to make fun of Elon Musk. Elon Musk is one of those people you love to hate or hate to love, either one, you know. I'm not sure which. But anyways, I want to ask you real quickly. The 11 books, Elon Musk says that if you haven't read these 11 books, you're probably nobody. So let's come through these 11 books and see real fast. Okay, yes or no? Terry, Jim, The Lord of the Rings. You read that one, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I did not. I seen the movie. Okay. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Have you read that one?
Yes.
No.
I have. Okay. So Terry's bad on that one. Okay. The other one, Benjamin Franklin, An American Life. Have you read that one?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have too. There you go. Okay. The next one, Structures on Why Things Don't Fall Down. I haven't read that
one.
No idea. Yeah. Another one, Ignition, An Informal History of Liquid Rocket Propellants. I have not read that one. Have you?
Yes.
No.
Have you? You are weird, Jim.
Jim's going to smoke both of us here.
He's a brainy. He's a brainy, Terry.
Well, that just answers it. Anybody who's read a book about, what was that, Ignition?
Ignition, an informal history of liquid rocket propellants.
Oh,
yeah. Can I just stop this test right now?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jim is a brainiac, though. That's why we love him. So I mean, for a lot of reasons.
I've heard it in a lot of people who were...
He's listen to this next one too, from Nick Bostrom. Super intelligence. You didn't read that one, Jim.
No.
You're already super intelligent. You don't need that one, bro. So super intelligence. Anyways, our final invention, Merchants of Doubt. The Foundation. These are the books that I say, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. No, and no. Okay. I've read a lot of books, but not this list.
No, I know. I've read a lot of books too, but yeah, it's an odd list. But Elon Musk says those are the books. It's also hashtag National Picnic Day. When's the last time you've been on a picnic? Jim, when's the last time you've been on a picnic? Real fast.
We did one this weekend. We went down to the beach.
Did you?
Family, yes. The
I'm
girls.
I'm proud of you, man. All right, Terry, when's the last time you've been on a picnic?
I had a picnic a week ago. A friend came in. We sat on Clearwater Beach.
I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. The two of you did picnic. Well, today's National Picnic Day. I haven't done a picnic in a long time. Here I bring the topic up, and I'm the one that hasn't even done it, people. I was trying to embarrass Terry and Jim, and it ended up embarrassing me. How do you like that?
So we were on Vanderbilt Beach, you know, here in Naples, and it was very nice. And
yeah.
And had it catered from the hotel. So.
Oh, boy. There you go.
That's a picnic.
I love it. Terry. Servants walk over with stainless steel platters and stuff. Here's your picnic, sir. Where would you like it? On the sand or the grass?
No, they actually bring it out in very nice wicker baskets. Like traditional.
With Terry. So Terry's show, mm-hmm. What If We've Been Wrong, is the name of her book, by the way. It's a fabulous book, and all the work she's doing globally and is amazing. And What If We've Been Wrong is the name of the book, and it's the name of her show. Her show is 7 p.m. as a talk show host. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's on every day, 7 p.m. on America Out Loud. But the thing about Terry is she brings it up. If you know, she's very truthful, very authentic. If you don't like truth with your news, you're not going to like Terry. If you're looking for lies and propaganda, she's not your gal. And if you don't want to bring it up to the big problems or the worldview of why we're ailing right now, she's probably not going to be your gal either. But if you like truth and you want to know what's really ailing us, she's the perfect one to go to, because she'll tell you what street avenue to get off or what highway off the exit. So, which is a good thing. So, all right. So
I do it with love and with charity. Love. Okay?
Well, that's a compliment. Break. That's a compliment, Terry. So, but that's how you are. Right.
And listening to Nozzle is a wonderful lead into her show.
It is. There you go. There goes Jim listens all the time. So anyways, you got to tune in, check out Terry and her book and all the work she's doing is amazing. Okay, Jim McKay, we need your prediction fast because we're running right out of time quick. What is it?
Okay, predictions are the Trump summit in North Korea will be very successful. They'll set the groundwork over there for denuclearization of the peninsula. And eventually set up talks for unification. That will not happen immediately, but it will move forward, and Trump will get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, that'll be an interesting day. What's your prediction, Terry Beatley?
All right, Malcolm. My prediction is that I believe Donald Trump will go down in American history, world history, as probably one of the best presidents we've ever had.
Wow.
He will survive what they're trying to do to him. He will come out and the proof will all be there that he will be. And this is a woman claiming Donald Trump will be the best president.
There you go. All right. Big thank you to Terry Beatley, Jim McKay, and friends. My two predictions. My first one is Mike Pompeo will become the Secretary of State, come hell or high water. Watch this one. My other prediction is we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.